Thank you for tuning in to Radio Free Gaming. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and I'm going to be your host tonight as we go through the last 2 weeks of news, stories, articles, reviews, and other useless crap. I would like to, before we begin, start by introducing you to our panel. This week we have noted psychiatrist Patrick O'Connor. We have our third wheel, which is Lucas Warner, who... Lucas, do you own any game systems?
I have an NES.
You own an NES? No.
I had a Dreamcast, but that's a long story.
Didn't you own a Game Boy at one point, or a Game Boy Advance?
Also a long story.
Oh, boy. Lucas is not what you would call a game buyer. He doesn't go out and buy a lot of games, but... He does play games, and he does pay attention to defunct games. We've brought him here to make sure that we do not become too elitist, and so he's here to ground us. I don't know what Patrick's here for. He's just here to disagree with me.
He's to elite you.
So, are you there, Patrick?
I am here, and I have some sessions available after this podcast, Lucas, if you need to talk about your Dreamcast.
That sounds lovely. Before we begin, I'd like to say that most of the time when we do these podcasts, we have a bit of it scripted, so that it's not just off the cuff. But this time around, we're going to do a little bit of a different thing. We're actually going to just talk and disagree and argue amongst ourselves. And, well, hopefully it won't be too chaotic. We may not have this perfected yet, but over the next few weeks as we do these, you will probably note some improvements. So let us know what you think. And we're going to try to keep this from being too boring. But before it gets too late, let's move on to our first segment, which is actually going to be the news. We're going to go through the last couple of weeks of news. Just a couple of hours ago, we had the big announcements about the PlayStation 3, but we're not going to talk about that. Well, not yet, at least. Instead, first we're going to focus on Lumines Live. Lumines Live has had some rocky problems recently. For one thing, it took them... 5-6 months before they actually released the game, and when they did, it pretty much just landed with a thud. This was the big game that everyone was waiting for on the Xbox 360 ever since E3, but unfortunately, it costs a lot of money. It costs $15 to buy, which is 3 times what Geometry Wars cost, and it just isn't as fun as the PSP version. It only comes with 12 skins, and it... You know, and the PSP version had 40. So it really has been something of a disappointment. But I will say that the game does feature a lot of the same things that made Lumines great on the PSP. It just costs quite a bit more to actually play. Do any of you have any thoughts on Lumines?
Well, what it sounds to me like, I mean, you're having to pay $15... to get 12 skins. That's more than a dollar a skin. And then what they're going to do is they're going to nickel and dime you for each skin thereafter.
I think that's less than a dollar. 15 for 12 skins? That is more. That's why you're the doctor.
It is. You know, I have to be a mathematician. Anyhow. But yeah, so there's going to, I mean, how much is it going to cost to get an extra skin? Is it going to be a dollar per skin, a bundle package?
What they're doing is for the next 22 skins, you're going to pay $7, and that will feature not only skins, but also new music, including stuff from like Madonna and Beck.
Why would I pay for that? And then that's still only 34. Where's the other,
Well,
six skins.
They'll probably add them. And the other big issue is that this $15 game doesn't actually come with all the modes that were available in the PSP game. For example, the versus computer mode has been neutered beyond repair, and eventually you will be able to buy more content, but before you, it's going to cost you at least $40 before you actually get the full version of Luminous Live, and that is a bit disappointing, especially when Luminous 2 on the PSP is going to run you $29.99. Any thoughts, Lucas?
It seems like a ripoff, but it doesn't seem like it's too bad for the new skins. But it sucks that you got to pay for them.
You definitely do have to pay for it. Too.
That's a ripoff.
To Microsoft's credit, from what I hear, the Xbox Live arcade games can only be 50 megabyte. And in order to have the new skins and whatnot, it would have been much larger than 50 megabyte. So that is a bit disappointing, but I suppose there is some reasoning there. But to call it a full game when it feels more like a trial, and then charge three times what it costs for Geometry Wars, it seems a bit much.
It's like the Tibix geometric shooters.
It certainly does. I mean, it kind of feels like they're going for what the focus of the Phantom was, and that we'll eventually just be paying full price for games and not getting discs at all, just storing it on hard drives, because it'll make it easier for them. You know, and they won't lower the cost of the game, even though the lower cost of development is there. So, I don't like the direction of games being that expensive on Xbox Live.
I think that if they were honest about it from the get-go, if they warned people, because there really isn't a place where it actually says this unless you do some research, because it says it's the full game, yet you don't get the full contents. I can understand them holding back some skins and then making you buy them later. But when it comes to the modes and stuff like that, they shouldn't be smaller just because, you know, you paid the $15. You should get all of the modes. And then, you know, just like Uno or some of the other games where you actually have to buy different modes, you should, if you want them, pay extra for them. You shouldn't have to. You should get everything in the... You should get all the modes, at least, when it
comes to...
Speaking
of which, is there any new decks for Uno?
There is a new deck. There's a Project Gotham Racing deck, which costs, I think, $1. It's pretty cheap. Moving on, we have ourselves a controversy about Clover. Now, Clover are the people that did Okami. They did God Hand most recently. And they, of course, did the Beautiful Joe series, which at least the first two games were good. They're sort of the niche group from Capcom that makes these artistic games that aren't necessarily for a broad audience, but for people that are looking for unique and quirky style games. They didn't sell real well, but after God Hand was released, Capcom decided to dissolve the company, and then a couple of the main people left the company, sort of in a huff to either create a new company that does the same thing or to work for somebody else. We don't actually know just yet. Go ahead.
It kind of seems like it's got a Joss Whedon factor, you know, really artistic games. You know, the people that like it really like it, niche market, and it gets canceled. You know, I played God Hand. It did seem kind of like a one-trick pony when I was down at E3. And, you know, I can understand where they're coming from when they cancel it, but compared to their other IPs, it was actually a pretty good studio.
No, absolutely. I think the people that love the games absolutely love them. And I couldn't tell you how many people messaged me and emailed me telling me how pissed off they were that this company was disbanded. And I think that a lot of people are just worried that, you know, these were the only really creative games that were coming out of Capcom. You know, you look elsewhere and you get Devil May Cry 4, you get Resident Evil 5, you get...
10 different versions of Mega Man.
You get a bunch of Mega Man games. And the problem is that, you know, sequels are fine and dandy, but people really like the idea of, you know, these creative games that usually didn't get a lot of sequels. I mean, you look at Okami, and I mean the game's just beautiful. The art is amazing, yet it didn't sell well at all, you know, despite the fact that, you know, it really should appeal to the sort of Zelda crowd that's looking for something more than just another Zelda sequel.
Hmm.
Do you want to expand on that, Lucas?
Don't know much about it, but it's pretty interesting.
And that's why you're here.
Thank you.
So let's move on to the PlayStation 3. Now, there have been a lot of announcements, but the big thing about the PlayStation 3 this week isn't the fact that Talladega Nights comes with the system. The big news is that people have been stopped from actually selling their reservations on eBay. Now, you may want to buy a PlayStation 3 at launch, but if you haven't reserved the system already, good luck with that, because it doesn't look like you're going to be able to, even if you can afford it. But a lot of people have bought the reservations and were starting to put the reservations on eBay, hoping that people would spend, you know, $1,000, maybe $1,500 on these systems. But eBay said no, because they wanted only things that you actually owned to be on sale on eBay. They didn't want people complaining and whatnot. Now, I can understand where eBay's coming from, but I don't really understand why all these people think that they're going to fetch $1,500 or maybe even $2,000 on a system that has such competition this year. Now, the Xbox 360 had a lot of didn't have a lot of competition last year, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of people bought it for so much money. But this year, you know, the people that can't get the $600 PlayStation 3, you know, they may just opt for the Xbox 360, which will have really good games, or the Nintendo Wii, which at $250 is actually more than half the price of the PlayStation 3. I don't see the system doing as well in the sense of reservation and people wanting to spend $2,000 or $1,500 on it.
Well, of course not. They'll end up getting an empty box for $2,000.
And there probably will be people that do that. Absolutely. That was a big problem last year with the Xbox 360.
You know, I think one of the main problems we're looking at with people expecting this much money is that they're looking at, well, if they did it for the PlayStation 2, if they did it for the Xbox 360, they're going to do it for the PlayStation 3. But, you know, it's out of each generation, it seems that there's one system that everyone must have, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be the PlayStation 3. They don't have any, you know, AAA titles. I mean, they got, you know, that, I don't remember the name of it, that's how good it is, a game that looks really nice.
They had Resistance, Fall of Man. Which,
Resistance, Fall of Man,
you know,
that's what I'm talking
good,
about.
But I mean, with...
But it has no history. I mean, it might be good, it might not be good.
Well, people want that. Well, people want to spend $600 on a system to get that when they could, you know, spend, you know, $300 or $400 on a system that has, say, Gears of War and Halo 3 on the way.
So, it's product lineup, and especially since Grand Theft Auto is going to be on the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3 doesn't have a lot going for it.
Yeah, they have a few games, but most of those games are coming out next year. Do any of you think that maybe the system should have been released in 2007 as opposed to right now in 2006?
Yes.
I think they stuck their foot in their mouth.
Lucas, what were you saying?
Well, you know, I've been reading up on this for a while now, and it should just make people wait, you know. But, you know, I guess it could be argued that they got to pump it out there.
They can't wait too long, because, you know, if they wait a year and a half or 2 years from when the Xbox 360 was released, then, you know, there's going to be just too many Xbox 360s out there to catch up.
Yeah.
But
it makes sense why they're doing it, but
in the long run,
people are just flighty, you know. They just need to wait, hold their horses.
In the long run, the PlayStation 3 is out there to push Blu-ray. I mean, it's really going to be the only Blu-ray player that people are going to have in their house. And they're not going to win this war. It's, you know, too late. And if they stick in with it, good. You know, I have a feeling that they're going to stick in there. But they're not going to win the war. They are going to push a new format out there that, you know, hopefully sticks.
Well, I have been negative about the PlayStation 3 recently. But I will say that I think it is a little too early to say that the system won't do well or won't succeed. You know, it is still the PlayStation brand, and people do gravitate to the PlayStation. So, we'll have to see, especially when the price drops hit. I mean, when the system goes down to 300, I mean, there's going to be just millions of people out there that are going to buy it. I don't know. That's just what I think. So, let's move on to Bully. Now, Bully is one of those games that you've probably heard about, but you don't really know much about it. You may have heard what Jack Thompson or other parent groups have said, but the game, which was announced just a couple of years ago, you don't really know much about it. They haven't really said much about it, and the previews don't really show much of the gameplay or anything like that. Jack Thompson seemed to indicate that the game was nothing more than a like Columbine simulator, like you were just going to go in and kill people in a school or beat people up for their lunch money or stuff like that. But apparently the game isn't really anything like that. It has a real story that is much more than just killing innocent children and stuff like that that's controversial. I think a lot of people were a bit surprised when the rating board gave it a T for teen instead of a mature rating, which I think a lot of people were expecting. And Jack Thompson, not believing in that rating board, took them to court and actually made the judge watch watch people play Bully to make sure that it could actually go out on store shelves. The judge ended up siding with Rockstar, and the game came out this week. Do any of you have any thoughts on Rockstar or on Bully?
You know, I was under the impression that Jack Thompson lost his license to practice law.
Not in Florida. All the strange stuff happens in Florida, and I think just as long as all the crazy shit happens in Florida, he's probably just going to continue to have his license.
So can I would like to know how he got Rockstar, who's in California and New York, to go to a court in Florida.
I'm not actually sure that's where it happened. However, he did pull him in front of the judge, because a judge did accept that. I mean, you can pull any company in front of a judge in any state, just as long as that's where you have jurisdiction.
Well, all I gotta say is that when I was at PAX talking with the Rockstar game, he really talked up Bully, and you know, sounded more like a dating simulator per se, but not a dating simulator. It sounded rather interesting what you were able to do and accomplish in the game and how it affected your character.
Much to Jack Thompson's chagrin, I think that some of the ratings of the game, much of the reviews, have been really, really positive. I noticed that 1UP.com actually gave the game a perfect 10, which surprised me a little bit, but you know, it definitely shows that the game definitely has a lot of potential, and you know, they've been at it for 4 years, so the fact that we haven't heard much about it, or they didn't really combat what Jack Thompson said, may have just been more of the fact that they wanted the controversy. They wanted people to hear about it so that they would actually go and give it a shot.
Well, I think Rockstar really uses Jack Thompson as an advertising tool, because they did it with, with Liberty City Stories by putting his name on one of the radio stations, just his initials, but we all knew they were making fun of him.
Sure.
And pretty much, if he starts talking about it, people want it because it's in the news. They don't care if it's in the news for a bad reason, for a good reason. It's in the news. It's word of mouth. They want to get it.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right about that. And you look at the games that Rockstar has put out that haven't been that successful, and it's, Manhunt, for example, didn't have a lot of controversy about it at the time, and it didn't sell real well, despite the fact that it's probably the most brutal of all of their games. I'd almost rather my children play Grand Theft Auto killing hookers and police than brutally murdering and ripping the heads off of people in Manhunt. It's a much more visceral sort of game the Manhunt is than the Grand Theft Auto series, which is almost more of an action movie. So let's move on to our final story. Now, you probably noticed that I've made a lot of fun of G4 over the last couple of years, but I guarantee that as much fun as I've made of it, it hasn't been as much fun as I've wanted to make of it. I've really wanted to spend all of the last 2 years just doing article after article about how much I hate G4, how they're talking down to me, how, you know, they show previews of games that are, you know, a year or two old, how it doesn't really seem like anybody on that channel actually plays games. All of these things really annoy me, but, you know, I've held my tongue, and I've made fun where I could, but I guess Comcast has had enough. They've reshuffled the channel over to the group that does E! Entertainment, which probably makes a little bit more sense because the channel recently hasn't had anything to do with video games. You can still get, you know, Attack of the Show, and you can still get X-Play. But let's face it, Arrested Development and The Man Show, albeit funny, have absolutely nothing to do with gaming.
Don't forget about Star Trek. They picked that up,
they
too.
They did pick up Star Trek. Which,
it's like Spike.
And wasn't it the original Star Trek they picked up?
Hey, the original Star Trek rocks.
Hey, no disrespect to it, but, you know, it is the original Star Trek.
And recently, to sort of go off topic here, recently the original Star Trek is being shown on other channels, but they're the new high-def version of Star Trek that I guess some company went through and actually changed the way that it looks and actually updated some of the special effects and stuff like that, what George Lucas did with Star Wars.
I was going to say they George Lucas did.
Right. And this is not the same thing that they did with what they showed on G4, but, you know, to G4's credit, they did pick up Arrested Development, which, you know, is one of my favorite shows, but it does make me wonder what it has to do with video games.
Yeah.
The saddest part about all this is the fact that, you know, Tech TV started out as their own channel. They had great shows. You know, they had Screensavers, which eventually became Attack of the Show, and they fired, you know, the staff when it went over to G4. You know, they merged and then they killed it off. It was a really horrible way to end.
Absolutely.
A great channel.
It does suck that what happened to Tech TV at the end of the day. It, you know, that has been the biggest casualty of this. I will say that, you know, hopefully they'll continue to run Arrested Development because as many people need to see that. But
yeah.
they're just it has absolutely, you know, this reminds me of MTV a lot, and I know that a lot of people are probably going to compare this, but, you know, MTV, you know, everybody thought that MTV couldn't do a channel of 24-hour music. And you know what?
Those people were right.
They couldn't. I mean, it lasted for a little while,
yeah. But
then MTV realized that with just a little bit of money, they could do a lot of reality TV programming, and those would get the advertisers in there, and those got the viewers in there, and then they could regulate the music to maybe in between commercials, or during end credits, or, you know, when somebody on Laguna Beach is crying, which is pretty much the entire episode. have you guys seen Laguna Beach? It's just horrible.
I have not, and it sounds like I am one of the lucky ones.
Oh, it's just horrible. It's they had another one of those, and I mean, it's MTV is a joke these days, but, and, you know, G4 is exactly the same way, and I think that, you know, as a gamer, I think that it's a little sad that we don't get that. Well, this has been a good first part. This hasn't been too disastrous. Nothing is caught on fire yet. So we're gonna hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and then we're gonna come back to talk a little bit about this week's articles. And we're back. Oh wow, We still have a little voice left over from that singing. So let's move on to this week's articles. We actually posted a bunch of different articles this week, and let's just kind of go through them and some of our thoughts about them and kind of expand on what people thought of them. First and foremost, we got a lot of email about a hostile place for cheaters. This was the article, I think we posted it on Wednesday. This article dealt with the Xbox 360 and how there were a lot of games that didn't have cheat codes anymore. I got a lot of email about this, and I just wanted to address a couple of things that I know there are games on the system that have cheat codes. Far Cry and a few others have cheat codes. But for the most part, most of the games on the system do not have cheat codes because they want you to get the achievements. Patrick, you own an Xbox 360. Do you agree with them not adding cheat codes to the Xbox 360?
I do agree to that. You know, games that have cheats available, if you use them, it doesn't give you the points. It says, okay, you can use the cheats, you can have some fun. You know, programmer cheats, of course, what I'm talking about. You can have some fun, but we're not going to give you the points unless you want to play it without using those codes.
Sure.
So, yeah, I agree to, you know, that extent that, you know, cheat codes and achievement points should be completely separate, you know,
okay,
like church and state.
Just like the church and state. Do you, Lucas, do you agree that people should be able or should have to buy cheat codes if they want them?
No, that's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I think we're all pretty much in agreement here, so let's move on.
Did you say buy cheat codes?
Yeah, no, they actually have to buy them. If you the EA with their Tiger Woods game, if you want to get cheat codes, you have to buy them off of the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Okay, now are we talking like programmer cheats, or are we talking like, you know,
cheat.
Skywalk, SOCOM style golfing?
No, nothing like that. You can buy a cheat for, I think it was like $2 that gives you all of the courses, so that you don't have to go through and unlock them. You can also cheat by getting a character that has all of their stats increased.
Wait, now, can you use these characters and then obtain achievement points?
That I'm not actually sure about, but I assume you can, because I don't think the achievement points are tied to leveling up your character and gaining all of the courses. I think the achievements in Tiger Woods are actually related to doing specific things.
Yeah, but didn't they have some controversy where people were swapping saves?
That is one of the biggest ways of people cheating on the internet right now when it comes to the Xbox 360. So yeah, that is that by no means is the achievement system perfect when it comes to the Xbox 360. Also this week, we looked at 8 years, is 8 years too much time? An article that addressed, you know, all of these games that took a really long time to develop but weren't really that good to begin with. Now, I should say that part of the game, one of the games that I talked about was Prey. And Prey isn't a bad game. I gave it an 80%. That's one of the games we'll talk about in our review section. It isn't a bad game, but it's not something that, you know, should have taken 8 years to make. I know that a lot of the time the game was canceled, and it probably only took 3 years collectively to make for two different systems. But games like that, or games like Too Human, the newest game by Silicon Knights, it just isn't, you know, worth it to take, you know, 8 years is way too much time. You shouldn't take that much time to develop a game, even if it is a labor of love. Does anybody disagree with that?
It lasted 8 hours. It took 8 years. I don't think an hour of gameplay should be equal to an hour to a year of work. I agree. 8 years is way too much time to make a game.
Absolutely.
Especially that is that short.
Of all of the articles that I posted in the last couple of weeks, the newest cover critic is probably the most controversial. I get a lot of people emailing me telling me that the newest cover critic, which I believe was called The Cover Critic's Religious Awakening, a lot of people wrote to me and told me that that episode dealt a little too much about religion, and this is a video game site, and maybe we shouldn't talk about religion. I personally disagree with that. I think that even though it is a video game website, religion is one of those things that seeps into the gaming. And as long as it's going to be there, it's fair game for humor.
Hey, don't forget about the Christian Game Developers Conference.
Yeah, we definitely covered the Christian Christian morals and Christian stuff respectfully when it came to things that deserved to be taken. You know, but I mean, one of the games I made fun of was a religious game where they substituted food in for people. It was, you know, like the Bible buffet. And I mean, how ridiculous. That's just asking to be made fun of.
Oh, Pat, there's some stories about that.
What system is that on?
That was on the NES. It wasn't a... Doctor, did you not read that article?
You know, I think I may have skimmed through it, but I don't remember. I'm looking at it now, and how do you pixelate pizza and a hot dog and ice cream cone
on
the NES?
And why are they getting along so well? That's what I want to know. I mean, eventually they're going to get hungry.
Wait, are they eating each other like cannibal-like?
Well, if it's a hot dog eating a pizza, then it probably isn't cannibalism, is it?
Well, cannibalism, you know, I consider their race... Their race is food. You know, like, our race is human. So, yes, I do consider it cannibalism.
Yeah, but we're primates, and we're mammals, so... And we eat mammals, so... It's not, like, a big thing.
Why are we debating the morals of food eating food?
Because it's more interesting than the game was.
A hot dog, you know, they're kind of the same family, but, you know, us eating a baboon is not cannibalism. I mean, let's get real with it.
Well, I mean, but who's going to eat a baboon unless you really need to? Barbar, on the other hand. But that's for a whole other show. We'll kill Barbar later. But no, I think you guys are right. I think that it is a little silly to debate the merits of food in a religious game, and just as long as it's there, and just as long as, I mean, you know, it deserves to be made fun of. The fact is that it's not only is it teaching us religious values, but it's also teaching our children that, you know, junk food is good for you. So maybe somebody should point out this discrepancy. Yeah.
Say what you will about the VeggieTales, at least they're vegetables.
That's true.
Hey, I like the VeggieTales. I used to have to watch them on a daily basis at my old job.
I can now understand why you're a shrink.
That's so sad.
I
understand
the
psychological problems.
I hear that one of the networks has actually picked up the VeggieTales, but they've cut out a lot of the religious aspects of it.
But the whole show was real. Well, that's not true, because, you know,
it's like family values. It's not religion.
So let's get back to our topic here. Should we be able to make fun of religion when it comes to a video game website?
I think you should be able to make fun of religion in church.
Hey, it's, for, you know, First Amendment, we can make fun of whatever we want on the site.
Okay, it is our site. There is something to be said about that.
You
that
know,
there
if,
is the
if they don't like what they read, they can change the channel.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. We also have not only a cover critic, but we have Daisy Does Bad Advertising, which happened so long ago that I don't remember anything. I don't remember any of it, so I'm not going to even talk about it. Instead, we're going to talk about... Now, Patrick, you had an article this week that was the limited facts about Test Drive Unlimited. Do you have anything to say about that article?
You know, basically, when it comes to pop-up
video
games...
I didn't think so. Let's move on.
Thanks for cutting me off. There is an interesting story that has to deal with hot dogs and how I came about that story.
Did you get converted while you were eating that poor biblical hot dog?
I did not. It was Costco.
Is it kosher?
Actually, no. It was kosher. It was Sinai kosher hot dog. Kosher.
The Jews, they make the best hot dogs.
They do. Have you ever had those Hebrew National hot dogs? Those are good.
Yeah, and are. With that, I think we're going to move on to our third area, which is actually reviews. So we'll be back after this. Welcome back to Radio Free Gaming. In our first two segments, we talked about articles and we talked about the news. In this segment, we're going to make you suffer through listening to our reviews. These are not going to be audio reviews. We're just going to recap some of the best and worst things about the reviews over the last couple weeks. Now, the big news this week for Defunct Games was that we started to offer reviews of recent games, something that we've kind of held off on for the last couple of years. Well, for 5 years, in fact. But we finally opted to review on Tuesdays and Thursdays some new reviews. Thankfully, we've received some nice emails from people that actually were happy about this. But our first review was American McGee Presents Bad Day LA, which probably should have been a really good and funny game because it has the makings of a great game. It had, you know, it's this fantastic premise about all these terrible things that happen in Los Angeles and how, you know, you're this homeless guy with a wicked sense of humor that has to save everybody, but it ultimately just wasn't that much fun. And I think that's the problem. And it wasn't funny either. For it to be a comedy, it actually has to be funny. And you can kind of tell that they wanted to get somebody like Dave Chappelle or something for the lead. But they ended up getting sort of a second-rate Dave Chappelle that didn't have any funny lines to deliver. And I think that was ultimately the biggest problem of this game. This week we also had Chad's 100th review. Now, Chad has been writing for the site for a little over a year now and has actually been able to release 100 reviews over the last year. And I just want to – we don't have Chad here, but if somebody on this chat wants to speak up for Chad's behalf, I will
say – Congratulations, Chad. Thanks for sticking with us. Been through the thick – been anyhow, good job.
Yes, absolutely.
Give you the golf clap.
Chad has definitely and he's already, you know, now his 100th review was a game that I actually have a lot of fun saying, which was the Floygen Brothers Episode 1.
Any relation to Star Wars?
I just absolutely love saying the word Floygen. And it's the only time I get to sound like Jerry Lewis.
I was going to say, that's what you sound like.
Along with Chad's 100th review, we also had a chance to look at the Turbo Duo. We had four Turbo Duo, or TurboGrafx-16, whichever you prefer, reviews this weekend. We reviewed just a bunch of, and you know, we want to spend a little bit more time. We've dealt with a lot of CDI reviews recently. And stuff like that. We wanted to bring it back to, you know, some of these systems that we've been ignoring. And the Turbo Duo is one of those systems we haven't talked about in a long, long time. Now, Patrick, at one point you were saying that a lot of the games that we review are 2D shooters. Have you noticed that over the last few weeks we haven't reviewed a single 2D shooter?
I have. And, you know, when I made that comment, it was because at the time I was trying to get all the Super Graphics games reviewed, and it's got 8 games and 6 of them are shooters. You know, it seemed like there was a real overabundance of, you know, just shooters.
Absolutely.
on the older systems.
Now our final the final thing we're going to talk about in the review section is Prey. Now we talked a bit about it in the last segment when we talked about games that took 8 years to make. But Prey, you know, it's not a bad game, but one of the things that makes it really good is the fact that you can download its extra content for free. I just want to thank 2K Games for giving us the opportunity to actually be able to download this stuff for free and not, you know, charge us an arm and a leg over the $60 it costs to actually buy the game to begin with.
Well, what's in that? I haven't download the content myself, but what comes in the free content? Is it a big update like GRA, or is it a smaller update?
It's not as big as what you get with GRA, but then again, GRA cost, what was it, like $12 or $15, or something like that. What you get is you get a bunch of different skins so that you can actually look at different people. Finally, there are some women that you can shoot at, you know, if you're into that that kind of thing. But you also get, I think it's 4 or 5 different stages to fight on. Now, the original game only came with 8 stages, 8 multiplayer stages. And, I mean, those were okay, but they showed a lot of promise. These new ones are a bit better, I have to admit. And, again, I can't stress enough how glad I am that 2K Games has decided to do this. And I hope that in the future, because, you know, there definitely was some controversy when 2K Games originally released Oblivion, because a lot of people complained about paying a couple of dollars to get shiny horse armor.
Yeah, that has been the bane of the Xbox Live existence, is that horse armor.
It's, you know, and even though Oblivion has had much better content available for cheap, for the most part, a lot of people have to admit that there is something about paying $2 or $3 for another sword or horse armor that just makes you angry, especially after you've paid $60 or in some cases $70 for the game. So I'm glad. Thank you, Prey. Thank you, 2K Games, for I just wish it was for a slightly better games, a game that I, you know, gave a 90 or higher to. But you know,
well, what did you give Prey?
I gave it an 80%. I think it's a solid game. It has you know, it has a lot of potential that seems a little unused, but it is ultimately a good, fun game to go through. My problem is that it's a bit easy. You really can't die in it, so, you know, you almost, by the end of the game, you almost don't care. You can go into, you know, boss battles just, you know, using your melee weapon, because you don't care about dying. It's just a couple of minutes that you have to spend in a mini game.
Did the download add any more modes to the online that isn't just deathmatch, something like capture the flag, something
that's
different?
Definitely what they should have done, but they have not done that, and maybe they will in the future. But the multiplayer definitely seems like it was kind of tacked on, like they didn't really think it out fully, like, you know, maybe Halo 2 did, or some of the other games that are specifically multiplayer. And I mean, the game's just asking for a capture the flag mode. That's all
I can only imagine running with the flag upside down on the ceiling and then letting go of the flag so your partner running on the ground can grab it. I
absolutely
mean, there's lots of possibilities with, you know,
the portals,
warp tunnels, all that stuff with capture the flag.
Absolutely. I definitely agree, and it's a shame that it's not there. When we come back, we're going to take some viewer mail. Did your mail get into the viewer mail? Probably not, because we made it all up. So, we'll be back after this.
Hey, Cyril, got some mail for you.
All right, what you got for me?
You know, I love the site, but there's something I've been curious about. Prey came out months ago. Why is it that you are only covering the game now?
Well, you're right that Prey did come out a few months ago, and I actually did review the game, and it got posted over on Gaming Nexus. But it wasn't until recently that we had to completely change our review section so that we could add recent games, because we didn't want to toss in sort of Xbox 360, PC, and PlayStation 2 games in amongst the WonderSwan, Nintendo 64 DD, and Neo Geo. We wanted to sort of have those two separate, and then find a day or two that we could do these where it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't take us away from actually having a good episode of some other show. We didn't want to change our schedule too much, but we wanted to find a way. So it took us a couple of months and a bunch of games piling up on our on our desk. But finally, we were able to figure out a sort of a compromise that I think works out for everybody. And that answers your question. So, Lucas, do you have a question for me?
Yeah, Cyril, I have some more mail for you. I enjoyed your take on cheat codes, but I'm having trouble coming up with any examples where a game has cheats on one system, but not the Xbox 360. Can you come up with a few examples?
I actually can come up with a couple of examples. Now, we were just talking about it. Prey, for example, has a bunch of cheat codes over on the PC, but no cheat codes on the Xbox 360. Now, to be fair, you don't really need something like God Mode or anything like that on a game where you can't die, but you can cheat on other systems, which is one of those things that it would be nice to be able to do on the Xbox 360. The same goes for Oblivion. That's a game where you could cheat on the Xbox or on the PC, but not on the Xbox 360. And then I'm not sure if anybody actually played this. If they did, I'm sorry. But the X-Men, the official game, also had cheats on other systems, but not on the Xbox 360. So those three games and a few others are good examples of games that could have had cheats, but it seemed like they wanted to not include cheats. Patrick, what else you got for me?
Just to comment on the last one, a general rule of thumb, cheats in games, they don't need to be there. But this next letter, in the last commercial break, you bitched about the seal of approval that Sega gives their games. But isn't it a little bit unfair? Aren't there just as many terrible games on Nintendo systems worth complaining about?
Oh, there are absolutely. There are terrible, terrible games on the Nintendo systems. There's no doubt about it. I mean, some of the worst games of all time have been on various Nintendo systems. But the difference is that Nintendo didn't take out a full-page ad that bragged about their seal of quality. At least not that I've seen. I'm sure that they probably did at one point, and I'll make fun of them then. But, Sega really did make a fool out of themselves by showing and saying, that this is our seal of approval as if it means anything. It really doesn't. It did a long time before that advertisement came out. It did around the time the NES was released, because Atari and other systems had, and other companies had games that were just terrible. And much, much worse than what you saw than Friday the 13th on the NES or Total Recall or, well, really any movie game ever made. So, yes, there are really bad Nintendo games. Some that are actually made by Nintendo. I recommend you search for my thoughts on the Super Scope 6 over on I've Got Your Number. Nintendo has made some truly horrific video games, and their third parties have as well. But when it comes right down to it, the seal of approval means absolutely nothing. And maybe it's for the best that newer companies like Sony and Microsoft aren't dealing with the seal of approval, because it's just horrible. All right, Lucas, do we have? I hear we have one final question.
Yeah, we do. What are your thoughts on Clover Studios being shut down?
Didn't this person just hear our podcast? We talked about this early in the show. There's no reason to talk about this again. Come on now. All right, well, I think that pretty much wraps up our first episode of this roundtable discussion. We hope to do this every other week and take a look at the news, the reviews, the articles we've posted, and whatnot. I recommend you head on over to defunctgames.com and actually take a look at some of the articles we talked about, the reviews that we looked at, and some of that other news. And we will have, in our show notes section, we will have a bunch of links for you in case you are lazy. For now, I would like to thank my panel. I'd like to thank Dr. Patrick O'Connor. I'd like to thank our third wheel, Lucas Warner. And for everybody here at Defunct Games, I'd like to thank you for listening. See you in 2 weeks. Until then, you've got to live with yourself.